With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
Now, this, of course, was the week where we saw unidentified drones illegally in Irish airspace, circling around Irish naval vessels around the time that President Volodymyr Zelensky was in the city, and big questions being raised about our capacity to provide security for both visiting dignitaries when it comes to the European presidency, but also for the vast amount of data and communications held on this island and that travel through this island. The Financial Times giving a damning indictment of our capacity to provide security to the information and IP that exists within the country. With me is Stephen Collins, who's columnist with the Irish Times and, of course, former award-winning political editor of that paper. Cathal Berry, former independent TD and a previous commanding officer in the Irish Army Ranger Wing. And Raluca Ciciano, who is CEO of Smart Tech 247, which is an organization that specializes in deterring, preventing and responding to cyber attacks. Stephen, let me start with you, because this is something that you have been writing on and that you have been analyzing. Give us a bit of a pen picture of where we stand when it comes to our security capacity and what you see as the gaps in that security capacity.
Well, where we stand is really we are completely insecure in terms of our defence. We are in Europe by far the least prepared for any kind of a hostile activity, be that from drones, be that from foreign countries. We simply haven't invested in defence at all over the last number of decades. And we have a lot of catching up to do if we want to put any defence system in place. The drones were it was just the latest example. And we also have the situation that during the EU presidency, it looks as if we won't even be able to provide security for visiting dignitaries. I think Irish people are generally in ignorance about this. I've spoken to foreign diplomats and they can't believe how undefended we are. I spoke to one foreign ambassador from a Baltic country, it has to be admitted, a couple of years ago, and he said he could understand maybe Irish reluctance to help other European countries like his own if they had suffered from invasion or were attacked. But he said he's never come across a country who didn't even believe in defending itself. And I think that's where we need to look at. Not that the debate about joining NATO is completely irrelevant. The important thing is, what do we do to defend ourselves? And we've had a commission which examined how the defence forces should be developed. That commission has given government recommendations. Now, the government has accepted some of the recommendations. It's a level 2 ambition, but they also outlined a level 3 ambition. And given the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the international threats and the Americans turning their back on Europe, I think we really have to move to level 3 ambition immediately, and that would involve us having at least 12 ships in a naval force that can actually patrol our waters, as well as the drones and this stuff to go under the water and protect our cables, because essentially we're relying on the British Navy to protect us. 100 years after independence from Britain, it's a pretty sad commentary. We do, of course, need to cooperate with other friendly countries like the UK and like our EU member states, but I think we really have to gear up and do it ourselves. And I think political leadership really has been really lacking on this front.
Now, can I ask you, Stephen, whenever we discuss this, and I think that the same may happen with a lot of programs and a lot of print outlets, there will be a certain cohort that will respond This is Reds under the bed scaremongering, trying to frighten people about the prospect of a threat that in reality doesn't exist. What's your response to that idea?
Well, I think just look at what's happening in the world. There are threats all the time. But somebody say, abandon, that we don't need a Garda Síochána, we don't need security, because most of Irish people are not criminals. They're not going to rob your home. Of course, we need protection at home. But we also need protection, I think, internationally, because the threats are now very serious. And even when they were not that serious, other countries, Finland and Sweden, for instance, were neutral. They've joined NATO now since the Russian invasion because they are quite frightened about what might happen to them. But they had very strong defence forces, even though they were neutral. So neutrality has nothing to do with being ready to defend yourselves. And also, the old military, the adage, if you want to avoid war, if you've got to prepare. You've got to ensure the peace. You've got to show any potential aggressor that they're going to not be able to get their own way. And for instance, even on the whole issue of, look at cybersecurity, our HSE was taken down for a while a couple of years ago. We have attacks at that level. So there are threats there that they're going to, the question is, how do we deal with them? And also then, what is the best way to invest? Should we invest in technology and drones and in sonar and radar, or do we need actual physical defence? And I think we do need that. And I think we do need an army that is capable of fighting and dealing with any potential threats.
Whenever this is discussed, obviously the term that comes up is hybrid war, hybrid and hybrid defence. Hybrid being on the one side, boots on the ground, radars, ships, planes. And in a minute I'll get Cathal Berry's view on what we need on that. The other side of it being a capable, secure capacity to respond to that which happens online. And Raluca Sichana may be able to give us an insight into that. She's CEO of Smart Tech 247. Raluca, can you give us a sense of what the threats are to both state infrastructure and to private sector entities operating within this country, and how good we are in protecting the data and industry that is situated here?
Yes, of course. I think we've seen real progress in the last few years, especially since the HSE attack, like was mentioned earlier. However, the vulnerability is still there. It hasn't disappeared. And a lot of the organizations that are operating in critical infrastructure are running legacy systems, for example. They were never designed for today's threat environment. So the threats are still very much real, and we still face the same threats that we did a few years ago.
And what are they, Raluca? Because it's easy to say cyber attack, but what does that mean in real terms? Who are the threat actors, and what are the kind of things you see being done on a regular basis?
If you look at the threat actors, when you look at the cyber criminals that are financially motivated, the threats are, again, the same that we've seen before. Ransomware attacks, attacks that are designed to create chaos, operational disruption. And then, of course, you've got the other side of the equation, which are nation states. And then the threat is espionage, misinformation, disinformation.
And are they... is that something, because again, I wonder about that skeptical view, is that something where you have direct evidence of seeing nation states doing that kind of thing in Ireland, or is it scaremongering?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of evidence, not just in Ireland, but in Europe as well. And I do think that Ireland will be in the spotlight in 2026, especially because it will host the EU presidency. And we've seen precedent before. We've seen Poland, for example, very openly saying that they will be investing in more cybersecurity structures to make sure that they're not a target. We've seen Denmark being the victim of cyber attacks on its national infrastructure just a month ago, and Germany being under constant attack. Every single country in Europe has faced increased cyber attacks in the last few years.
What are the implications then if that is already the pattern of AI getting added into that mix? Because I assume that greatly amplifies the capacity of bad actors to achieve what they want to achieve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. if we're not well prepared, we could see other attacks like we've seen in 2021, ransomware attacks. We can see attacks on our energy grid. We can see attacks on data centers. Remember, Ireland hosts significant data centers. We've talked about undersea cables as well. There, we could potentially see espionage because of that. And phishing, for example, has become such a huge problem. And we could see large-scale AI-powered phishing attacks that are designed to create chaos, first of all, but also to steal information which is very valuable for hackers.
On the other side of hybrid security, then, of course, comes the physical stuff, boots on ground, ships, planes, all the rest of it. Cathal Berry, a former commander of the Irish Army Ranger Wing, looking at what happened during the week, Cathal, with as yet unidentified drones flying around Irish Navy ships. First of all, what will the reaction be of Defence Forces members to apparently having their hands tied in respect of that? And secondly, to give them what they actually need to provide proper security, what should be put in place?
Good morning, Anton. So I guess the defence community's reaction would be not one of surprise. I mean, this type of interference would have been predicted and would have been expected, really. But it is quite demoralising when you're trying to do a job and you take your job seriously, but you haven't been provided with the tools to actually do it properly. So that's a big concern for sure. So Ireland is the only country without a primary radar system in the European Union. Even very small Malta, with the population and the footprint of County Cork, has one of them and had them for decades.
Now, why does that matter, Cathal?
Well, we can't actually monitor the airspace over our capital city, our main international airport. And you saw what was necessary about 10 days ago during Zelensky's visit. We had the security services from the UK, from Portugal and France, so gendarmes and police on the rooftops of Trinity College, monitoring the airspace and protecting the airspace over our legislative assembly, so Leinster House and government buildings. So 100 years after independence, we can't even, not only can we not secure our geographical territory and jurisdiction, we can't even secure the cradle of our own democracy, which is hugely demoralising for our own security services.
We had French and Portuguese security services on top of the Oireachtas?
Not on top of the Oireachtas, but nearby buildings. And they were enforcing a no-fly drone zone over Leinster House to protect President Zelensky. And that is a huge issue, and it should be a huge issue. And anybody who's discussing it with me over the last number of weeks, any proud Irishman or any proud Irish woman, should have a huge concern over that. I mean, we've chosen to be a neutral country. We've chosen to stand on our own two feet, but we haven't resourced that policy at all. And it's a major insult to the security service that external assistance was required. And we don't mind getting the occasion, but a small bit of assistance, but this wasn't supplementing our existing capability. It was actually replacing it, which is a big concern.
And now, can I ask, Cathal, when I think when people discuss this, there is a sense of it is binary. Either it is all out war, in which case it's Armageddon and there's nothing we could do anyway because we are so small, or we shouldn't worry about it. What's the real middle distance? What are the kind of real measurable, visible threats that you think we need to be able to interdict?
Yeah, so it's all grey zone activity, this hybrid conflict or hybrid activity. And what hybrid warfare is classed as, it's above the normal threshold of diplomatic activity, but it's below the normal threshold for war fighting. So it's everything to do with weaponization of migration, with espionage, with sabotage, with assassination attempts, with cyber attacks, all those types of activity.
And but people will think this is James Bond movie stuff. They won't think this is a real threat in Ireland, is it?
Well, if you look at what happened only 10 days ago, just next to our capital city, this isn't being made up. This is actively happening. If you look at what's happening in Ukraine, if you speak to your Ukrainian neighbours, if they're living in the same estate as you, they will tell you precisely what's happening. And if you look at the Irish diaspora around Europe, any officials or any politicians who are travelling to Brussels, they will openly tell you that not only is defence the most important topic of conversation at the moment. It is the only topic of conversation in Brussels. People are genuinely concerned because they've been occupied for years during the Second World War, but also during the Cold War as well. So that's within living memory, and it's a palpable feeling of threat, particularly in Eastern Europe at the moment.
And is the fundamental driver of that, that the American backstop that was once relied on is now gone? Is that it?
Yes, so pressure from the East, from Russia, and withdrawal to the West from America. So America did have this America did underwrite European security for decades, but that's totally changed now. And there's a vacuum left in its place, and Russia is taking full advantage of that. So it's very important that Europe asserts itself and has its own strategic autonomy, that they can independently protect their own borders, which is really important from any country's point of view.
Stephen Collins, let me go back to you. If you go back to your former gig as political columnist or political editor, I should say, with the Irish Times, it's hard to see, if you are a politician, how there are votes in major expenditure on defence, even if there is a compelling argument. Do you think it is something that any government is going to want to do when people will say, what about waiting lists? What about social welfare? What about mental health services? You should be spending the money on that.
Well, this was the argument in the past, but I think the threats are now very, very obvious. And it does come down to national pride. As Cottle Berry was saying there, do we want to just say to the British, you protect us, or our European allies? And we also have to recognise our reputation has taken a big knock over all of this. The Financial Times piece you mentioned, which was actually a very accurate account of the situation that we're facing, conveyed that kind of contempt that a lot of other countries now have for Ireland, because we will not just face up to some of our own responsibilities. So I think the money is there at the moment. That is the point. The exchequer, we're still running a big exchequer surplus. We do have the money. We're not the impoverished country we were 50 years ago, but we also have bureaucratic bungling. There's a story in the Irish Times this morning that the Department of Finance prevented the Department of Defence, even though Simon Harris was tarnished and wanted to apply for loans under a new European facility. There's 150 billion available to improve defences, and the Department of Defence was not allowed to make an application to draw down some of that money because the old kind of typical Department of Public Expenditure bureaucratic clampdown on any extra spending. So I think we've got to get over this issue of defence is important. It's actually the most important thing of all. If a country can't defend itself, then a country's independence is really under threat. So I think there's a public awareness of that now. I think what happened in Ukraine and what's happening in all these hybrid warfare activities has alerted the majority of the public to the fact that we need to do something, and something very significant in the near future.
Interesting. A text just arriving in echoing what you're saying. Defence spending is your national insurance policy, and Ireland has been avoiding that spending for decades. Stephen, thank you very much. Stephen Collins, columnist, former political editor of the Irish Times. And likewise, thank you to Cathal Berry and Rulukasi Chanu. Cathal, of course, former independent DD and commander of the Irish Army Ranger Wing, and Ruluka, CEO of Smart Tech 247.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.